Blog Talk Radio.
Keep doing your thing because you never know. I might be sitting at home with a chicken bone, see on TV. Now, wait a minute. I know them, you know.
Double O-W, double E, ooh wee. Looking for the sweetest hit. Well, we got the recipe. Been patient waiting for someone to show you. So we gonna show you how. We gonna break it down. We gonna break it down.
Oh man, hey, Al, they should have been singing the whole time live.
Exactly, man.
I got 10 engagements. If I go to one event, I got like 5-6 people, you know, booking me. Blam, blam, blam. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm independent. And I am doing, I'm independent. And I'm like, wow, I'm doing it like on a big scale, like I'm a real artist. I'm like, what? But hey. I spoke.
You are a real artist. I am a real artist.
Was written, and you know what? You know what? Because I'm so appreciative. You zeroed in right where I really want the reader to get. That's really the reason why I wrote the book.
I'm blown away.
I told God I would be faithful about the spirit that He gave me, and He wouldn't let me release it for some time. But if no one else gets anything out of that book, get chapter 9.
That's very, very simple. You know, I talk nice to them. They call me Daddy, AJ Dicko. AJ Dicko, 3-5. And I say, sure, I don't do no physical harm to them. Mm-hmm. I just threaten to take the food, the clothes, and the home from them. And they act right.
Oh, okay. So, see, I was just thinking maybe you might have to clean house or something like that, but that's great.
Well, back in the old days when I first started, I used to use the duct tape and the clothes hangers and all.
See, I thought that, because that's an old tried and proven practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard.
It's a national anthem. I make them all say before I put them on the street. They say, "We are K-Tickle Girl, the one you heard about. We fight with knives and 45s and broken bottles, too. We are K-Tickle Girl, so who the hell are you?"
Oh, mercy.
Who the hell are you?
Okay, I was just about to ask you that. Like, what genre would you say most of your music, I guess, is in? I don't want to put you in a box or anything, but what do you feel it most represents, your style of music?
Well, Ron L., who's one of my partners, and we formulate the Love Brothers. We've just finished our 4th CD as well. He lives in Virginia. He said it's a combination of jazz and hip-hop, which he calls Jip Jop, which I registered and copyrighted right away.
No, other than the fact that, like you said, I was sitting there. There was times when I was sitting beside him while he was doing his beats and everything, and, I don't want to call him his real name. Taz has come a long way, and his music is...
Thank you, Jesus.
This is the voice, and as I said before, T-A-Z, host the show, man.
Good day, good night, whatever time it is, whatever the universe, this is T to the A to the Z, your boy on A-T-A-Z, P-Live, interviews with Benny Shaw and Drew 32, and I have them both on the line. Billy Shaw.
Hey, what's up, Chad? What's going on?
How y'all doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Huh? Hey, it's all good. Usually, I interview y'all one at a time, but since y'all like from the same state, you know what I'm saying?
Because you do a package deal, huh?
Yeah.
Hand up.
And I'm always feeling, I've been knowing Drew for, I guess, 3 years now, right, Drew?
Something like that, I don't know.
Yeah, and you've been on the show at least 3 times.
Yeah, and I have.
We've done this like 3 times. And Benny Shad, I met her was it September, I think it was?
I can't remember. Yeah, that August or September, but in Atlanta, y'all.
Yeah, in Atlanta at the Atlanta's music conference.
Yeah.
Yeah. So everything is all good. I've been feeling y'all music. Like I said, when I listen to anyone's music for the first time, and I'm shaking my head, it's all good for me because I'm like, man, I'm feeling this for real. So that's why I invited y'all both on the show. My first question, I already asked Drew, but I'm going to ask again because maybe somebody new might be listening. And Benny, Shad, I got to ask you, how do y'all get y'all names? I mean, you know, when you first decided you wanted to do this music thing, how did you come about coming up with the name for your concept? I'm going to say ladies first. Then he's shy,
okay.
Go on, and then Drew.
Well, you know, I try to be polite, but it's Bina Shad, like, you know, Bad Bina Shad. I got the name actually growing up. I'm not going to put my legal name out there, but my nickname was Bina. And, you know, it was just something that they gave me in the neighborhood, Bina Bean, because I was a little 11-year-old thinking, you know, I was tough and, you know, the older crowd gave it to me because they thought I was cute. So I took Bina, and, you know, I was rapping under Bina for a minute, but it wasn't snazzy enough. So I'm like, you know, I really need to put something to it. And so I ended up putting my last name to it. My real last name is Shad. And so I got Bina Shad, and it's what I roll with. I prefer that over an alias because, you know, it's just simply who I am at the end of the day. So it was a perfect fit.
Okay. Drew?
My rap name is Drew32, and that basically came about, well, my name is Andrew, so playing basketball, it's always easier to call for a pass by just saying the name Drew instead of Andrew because it takes way too long to say. So they would just yell at me, Drew, 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 Drew. So that's how the Drew part came, and I always wore number 32 because – well, originally I wanted to be number 23 growing up, like Jordan, but that couldn't happen because somebody already took the number, so I just switched it. So picked 32. And then just because it was Drew 32 and it rhymed, just the Drew and the 32 rhymed, it just stuck. So I took that. And then lately I've been trying to form some AKAs, I guess you could say. I also go by Drew 32, Trey Deuce, like Trey Deuce, like 33 and 2, or sometimes triple double. If I'm like rapping a verse, I'll be like triple double, you know, causing trouble, something, like whatever. I'll just throw stuff in like that, just anything to refer to myself, just make it up. But that's basically it. I don't know, it's not like a whole story.
So how did y'all get involved in this rap game? I mean, could have been doing anything else. I mean, what influenced you to do hip-hop or just be doing music, period?
Ladies first again?
Yeah, oh, ladies first all night.
Oh, okay. Just wanted to make sure. You weren't finished, though. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to know what influenced y'all to do what you do. Because, I mean, you know, there's a number of things you could have just went into doing you know, R&B, rock and roll, anything else. Why did y'all choose hip-hop?
Well, for me personally, I started out writing poetry when I was like 8 years old. It was more or less an outlet. I came up in like a broken, you know, abusive home, and I would just close my door and pull out a pen and pad and escape or just vent, you know, whatever I was going through. It was something productive for me, something that helped me. And when you're young like that, you can't really say F this and leave the house. So that's what I did. And poetry
which is something I always did, but music was always a love. You know, another escape and outlet would be like turning on the radio, pulling out the mirror, closing my door and dancing. So dancing was really my first love. And then one day, you know, Funkdafy came on the radio. It was Brat, and I was like, dang, you know, I was just vibing. And, you know, poetry, basically rap is poetry. And so I wrote my first flow to Funkdafy. And, you know, I grew up. Basically, you know, I'm in the era of Tupac and Biggie, and Pac was just one of them influential, revolutionary-type dudes, and music was very different back then. It was from the heart, from the soul, and something you could really just, you know, it was life. And so I started the flow, like I said. I wrote my first flow to Funkdafy, but my true inspiration came from the pain I was feeling, and Pac just helped inspired that, because he provided that platform and that outlet for what music was at the time. And so it started from there, and I've been writing ever since. It's been like 14 years now.
Cool. Drew?
My story is going to sound completely different. let me just clear all questions, clear the air. I'm definitely from the suburbs. So I don't have that kind of story. But I got into rap because just listening to the radio growing up, just like I was drawn to it. Just I liked the bounce to it. I liked the it just was more fun to listen to. And so I would just always rap like to like Lil Bow Wow. That was big when I was like 10. So just I would be in the car with my dad, whatever, and just be rapping all the lyrics to Lil Bow Wow. He had got me the CD. And so when on September 11th, my dad wrote a poem about it, about September 11th, because he was really touched about, like, what happened. And he wrote this poem, and it ended up turning into a song, because, I mean, he recognized I had talent in rapping at that young age. And so ended up recording the song when I was, like, 10, and that was my first song. And just being in the studio, I just fell in love with the experience, and just like I didn't want it to just be a one-time thing. So I my dad ended up buying me some real cheap beat-making software, and then I moved on, and just now I'm working with Pro Tools. So that's the story. So I haven't really stopped. I write all my stuff. I produce everything, well, most everything. Now I'm getting into some other producers now, but. It's been an inspiration. I guess my musical inspirations for me have been Eminem, like I said, Bow Wow, actually Bob Marley, even though he's not really in the genre. I always liked Bob Marley for some reason. Other big name artists, I guess everything that I listen to, I kind of like take something from it, whether I like it or not, just teach me like what, like, like lately, I guess I haven't been. I don't want to say this really, but I haven't been a fan of the new Lil Wayne type thing where like everything is straight like stupid. I don't know, like stupid rap. I don't know, but I still like having fun. I still like having fun.
Dad, you better watch now. You don't get no case on your doors. That
that's
Monday.
What I did. I didn't feel comfortable saying. I didn't feel comfortable saying. No, I'm not saying.
We're just teasing you. Yeah, auto-tune is whack. Everybody says it, so it's fine.
I know. See, I don't think auto-tune is whack. It's just when you overuse it. Because, like, I'll use it on a hook. I'll auto-tune a hook.
Yeah, too much. It's overdone.
But when it comes to auto-tuning an entire rap song, it's like, I'm kind of iffy about that, I guess. And I'm not saying that he's not good or not saying that he's not having fun. I mean, obviously, when you have all that money, you can do whatever the heck you want to do, whatever you want to do. But I don't know. It's like, I like his older stuff better, is what I'm saying. But
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's basically it, how I got into rap. I'm talking too long. Next question.
No, I'll show you because I don't like it either. I feel you. As a matter of fact, in one of my songs, I said I gave props to a couple people that used it before, like Roger, you know, back in the day. Teddy
yeah, Ballard. That's been Roger. Most definitely.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care.
Cher, you know what I'm saying? Cher did it.
I do it. I mean, I do it. I do it all the time. I don't feel like I overdo it. I'll do it on a hook, and that's it. I won't do it on an entire thing.
Well, let's go to the music. This lady first, so Miss Shad, can you tell us who you want me to play? Because I got three of your joints.
Well, you can which whatever one you want to play. Which one you want? Ooh.
Yeah, that's my favorite one.
Okay, I'm gonna just give them the disclaimer though. Like you're getting, no one else has got that music. It's not finished, so they're hearing static mixes. You know, basically a rough draft of what's cracking, but enough to give them an idea. So, go ahead, Tess. Do what you do.
I'm gonna play Ooh, and then we're gonna get into a Drew 32 cut, and we'll come back and talk to Drew 32, and. I'm going to call you Miss Shad since I jacked up your first name.
It's all good. Being a Shad. Just remember Bad. Like, Bad being a Shad. You'll always remember it.
Being a Shad.
There you go.
ATAZP live.
When the past all the boys say, ooh. Cause my measurements say, and I got your mail, like,
ooh.
Yeah, so all the broads ask,
ooh.
Your feelings hurt, and that's so much.
reins. I'm flying high school like paper planes. All chain, you know I'm stepping out with the new fly. Since awakening, they're yelling out, ooh, ah. I'm a new guy, so listen up, stupid. I feel like Game after they left G-Unit. I done changed now, I got the game plan. Hit up your area code and make you lame scram. A rap great is in the making, still creating the next state of these hip-hop stations. I'm through the loco, but I'm wearing business suits. Who the code is MC spitting? Let me introduce you to Drew Trey Deuce. The news is you ain't used to a groove so smooth. No flukes, no Fruity Loops. Use the hours in Ferraris while you still in the blue scooter. Give up on the juice, you will never be a flow cruiser.
Production was dope, chorus was dope, it was a nice sound. So we definitely got a collabo.
I was thinking the exact same thing listening to yours.
what it is. I already got your email. I'll just cut and paste it off Tag. So we'll look it up.
I'm glad.
All right, cool.
Look at you, Taz, making connections.
That was a good reason why I put that together, because I said, man, I bet she'd be feeling a little beat for real. So, you know, vice versa. So I was
yeah, they were dope. I definitely dug it, yeah.
So, like, usually, like, typically, I would say that I'm not used to listening to female rappers, but you were definitely an exception, because that was hot.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Thank you.
I like that song. I like that song, and it was sexy too, because the way she kept going, ooh.
Yeah, you know,
somebody.
I was thinking the same thing.
Really? I'm just glad a guy just said ooh, because I was just arguing with my boy yesterday. He was like, a dude is never gonna say ooh. I'm like, man, watch. You know, so hey, it's what it
yeah.
is.
The way it
now you said. You said your boy said what? What now?
Oh, he said you will never get a dude to say ooh.
You just said
him. Right, yeah. So, hey, I should have bet some money.
Miss Shad, my question to you, you was in California and telling listening audience what you were doing out there as far, you know, you had told me when you was out there, but I want you just to inform them when you were in Cali.
Yeah, I was just in L.A. At a music conference, Remix Hotel, with a great group of people, organization, production-based company out of New York City that really shown love to me. iStandard Producers, need to check them out if you're a producer, rapper, whatever, label, iStandardProducers.com. That was the quick plug. But just, you know, a motivated group of people. We were out there, and I was just on a, listening to a series of panels from, you know, Atlantic VPs to Zach Katz. You know, he's from Beluga Records out there, Delicious Vinyl, which is, you know, an organic Los Angeles label. But just basically getting my networking on and, you know, running into new producers and new studios and new A&Rs and stuff like that, you know, just the politic and position myself where I need to be to get it cracking in 09.
Feel you. Drew,
that's basically it.
Drew, you was also in, you went to Italy, is that right?
No, I went to Athens, Greece.
Oh, okay, man. How was that experience?
That was sweet. I'm Greek-American, so, here's a condensed story of how this ended up happening. My dad's a lawyer, so he was doing some legal work for this guy named Denor, who books celebrity parties. So like when a celebrity does a concert or something, he'll like have like the after party or something and have them stop by and stuff like that. That's his whole job. And he had been for the Olympics. He had been in Athens a couple years prior. So when he heard that my dad was Greek American and I rapped, it was like the perfect setup. So he was like, "Oh, we're going to Athens. I'm taking you to perform." So I was like, "That's cool with me." So we flew over there. I would say late July, early August. I think we came back early August, but I got to perform at three different times at two different venues. One was called the first night we were there, I performed at this club that held like about 2,000 people. It was called Giselle in Glyphada, Athens, Greece. And that was crazy because I didn't even know I was supposed to perform. I just was there, and they just all of a sudden I heard the DJ say, would Drew 32 come to the stage? I was like, oh shoot. So I just walked up, they handed me a mic and started playing my music. I was like, oh my goodness. So I just started rapping. They told me to freestyle. So that, I mean, it was fun. I was having fun. And then I ended up performing two more times at another venue called Akrotiri Boutique. And that one, that was even bigger. That was fun. Like, I'm talking about on a Wednesday night, they had 3,000 people show up. It was crazy. And it was just like a club, and like it was out, like half, it was like an indoor outdoor. They had like a pool. It was just like, just crazy. I didn't start rapping till 2 a.m. Didn't get back to the hotel till 6 a.m. And like the next night had to catch, I mean the next day had to catch a flight. So it was like crazy. It was a really fun experience, and I definitely want to do it again next summer.
That's cool. That's cool. AC, you got any questions for our distinguished guest?
Well, I mean, I'm listening to his, you know, rapping abroad, and I wanted to ask him, okay, what's the difference in being there and in the United States? Is there more of is the fan base any different than being in the United States?
I can't tell you if I have like fans overseas, because I mean half of them, I mean,
well,
I guess they speak English, but you know.
Well, let me say rap in general in that particular area, is rap more, you know, is it accepted more over there than it is to say in the United States in that, you know?
Oh, definitely not as much. The U.S. definitely accepts rap more. They're more of a like dance music, like techno, stuff like that.
Right. Yeah,
but they do when they do listen to rap, though. I wouldn't say in terms of rappers overseas, there's not as many either. At least from Greece, I know. I'm not sure about other places, but I would say they still listen to rap too. I mean, I guess I don't know. I had fun. There's a lot of people there, so I'm not sure if they were there for the music or just the party, but they were, I mean, when I tell you there's 3,000 people there, I mean, I guess that should be enough. I don't know.
Right, yeah.
Okay, AC, I should answer that question because I did a couple of beats for a rapper over in Poland, and it's big time. He sent me videos and everything, and he was like one of the top rappers in that area of Poland, and he was up for an MTV award.
Yes, huge.
So
Germany, too.
Yeah, have you been over to me, Ms. Shad?
No, I haven't been, but, you know, I get a lot of dudes on MySpace, dudes, females, whatever, just artists that contact me on MySpace,
right.
Rappers especially from Germany, Poland, and they're heavy. They're really out there, like, you know, living and dying music and rap, and, like, they're in the G-Unit heavy, too. I don't know, for some reason. But, yeah, there's a lot of them.
Agree. When I was over there, they played nothing but 50 Cent.
Yeah, they're in the G-Unit
right,
in Europe, for some reason. Like, he's got them a lot.
Well, I would suggest that y'all look and see if y'all can get, you know, a couple of shows overseas. Especially in the UK, especially
the UK is popping,
yeah. Yeah, because it's easy to do once you get with the right folks. And,
right.
Who knows? I'll be seeing y'all having half the UK and Germany on lock. I'll be like, wait a minute, I had them on my show, and they're
right.
Here. they got this whole continent on lock. So y'all need to look into that for real, because you definitely will. Get some exposure, especially anybody from the United States, because they think we hot anyway. So, you know.
Right, definitely. Well, you know, a lot of American acts, they pop first in the UK, even though you really don't hear about it. I think actually NSYNC was one of them. NSYNC popped off in the UK before anyone knew who they were here. So a lot of, you know, they take a lot of American acts overseas and then bring them here.
Yeah, and I have to piggyback off of that real quick just to say that is true. A lot of your people, your underground music that you hear here in the United States, you know, on overseas, it's not considered underground overseas, because
right.
I think overseas, I think they're I think they're quicker to accept the music than we are. A lot of the times we go off a name instead of listening to the music, and I think that overseas, I think they're more into the music than we are here in the United States.
They are. They're more into the music. In America, we're more into the gimmick. You know, we want
the
package.
There you go. That's
it. We want to see a superstar 360 degrees round. You got to look good, sound good, walk good, talk good. In Europe, like I when we were in Atlanta, and Kaz, I don't know if you sat in on it or not, but Public Enemy was there, and Chuck D, you know. Chuck D and them, they still tour Europe and the UK regularly. They're like,
yes.
We don't even tour the U.S. because don't nobody here even want to hear what we have to say anymore. You know, like basically saying that, you know, the U.S. was pretty lame in distinguishing what real music was anymore, and that Europe and overseas was the only real outlet for true music, you know.
Over here, they just go with the fad. And
yeah, it's commercial. You know, the industry is commercialized. But, you know, it's coming back around here, too. So,
okay,
it all work out.
The music. We're going to get back into the music, girl. This one song, I don't know how to pronounce it. D-O-I-B-O-I. Doughboy or?
Oh, Doughboy.
Okay. I had a song called
Doughboy.
Long time ago. Wow.
Oh, yeah?
You're killing me. I'm like, I sure hope it ain't the one I wrote. But of course, you were probably a little baby then when I wrote
that. Yeah, it was probably before my time, Taz.
Way before your time. Here we go. We're going to go with Miss Shad and Drew 32. Ladies first again, and then we'll get into Drew's song afterwards.
Boy, but I fuck with them joy boys. Property, real estate, but you know what?
swole, swole. Like my big sister Digger. She keep that white girl like Slick Fuller. My whole family out cold,
yeah.
You ain't making pro or no hand-me-down gold. No, at least five niggas done made 50 off that. And y'all walk around like y'all really boss. I ain't shit, nigga. I talk it cause I really walk it. They call me Helly Hansen. I get it every chance, man.
Rhythms that scare you, then wear you like denim.
Hit them up on the web. Listen up on MySpace for ATAZP recorded live in the studio.
ATAZP. I gotta say, them 2 songs was hot, y'all.
hey, man. I want to give a big ups to both of the artists because I like the lyrics and I'm liking the tracks. Everything was cool, man. That was cool. I'm digging both of those. I'm digging both of them.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Now, who produced the first track, Benny Shaw?
Dude named Helluva. He's real big here in Detroit. He does a lot. He's like probably, arguably, you know, the dopest producer. He also was rapping on the track. He went last, but he's been putting his work in here in the city for a real long time. So it's pretty well known.
Cool.
And he actually got a placement on Jeezy's new album coming out and, you know, just doing some big things as well.
Okay. And you're in the D, right?
Yep.
Yeah, have you ever heard of Princess T?
Princess T.
Yeah.
It sounds familiar.
Glenn Cannon is president of Street Noise Records. I'm friends with him up there.
Street Lord Records?
Street Noise.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm friends with him. I just wondered if you had heard of their organization.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
He also got a couple of TV shows up there, dance TV shows up there as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's what's up. I know that was Professor O. Am I correct, Drew, on that last cut?
Yeah, that's who produced the track. He's I was just listening. I don't know if you've heard of SoundClick, but it's like a website.
Yeah.
A lot of people with the music on it, and I was going through like beats and stuff on there, and I found this one that I liked, and you heard it. I mean, I fell in love with the beats. So I contacted the guy, and just hooked up with him through over the internet, and he ended up selling me the beat. So that's how it happened.
Okay, cool.
I think you can hit him up at, I want to say it was soundclick.com/ProfessorO Productions. I want to say.
Because it's really rare to hear you hop over another beat other than the ones you make.
Yeah, that's one of the few that I haven't made.
Yeah, I know. I was tripping. That's why I was tripping, like, whoa. But it's cool.
Yeah, but
yeah,
but
I
again,
wish I
man,
made that beat.
Yeah, that was a nice beat, man. That was really nice. That's a I mean, I call myself, you know, I'm grooving to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of, and both of you, want different producers from time to time. Of course, you know, I know a whole lot of them. I know a whole lot down here in the A and around the country for that matter. So, yeah, I'm friends with a lot of beat makers. And what is next? This is my question. What is next for you guys? I mean, you guys do music. Hopefully, you'll be out touring soon. What is next? Where do you want to take this this rap thing to? Ladies first, of course.
Well, what's next for me is I'm just really at the moment, presently, I'm just trying to square up my EP. At the same time, just put the raps on my press kits and start getting those shopped. Been fortunate enough to be blessed with some great, you know, relationships and networks within the industry, and so just basically waiting on my my product. Outside of that, I'm working on a couple other ventures. I'm doing some writing for a couple different producers in the industry, in addition to producing young and up and coming R&B artists, and just getting my writing on as well. I write all different genres, from gospel to folk to rock to everything, and learning the electric guitar, too, because I want to incorporate that in being the Shad's brand and, you know, just being an all-encompassing artist. So nothing but high heights for me, and looking to see my dreams come true in 2009.
I'm proud of you. I'm glad you just, you know, not one phase. You know what I'm saying? You got to be all assets.
Got to be. You know, that's what the industry, like, if you listen to the labels, they'll tell you they ain't signing people anymore. They're signing artists that they foresee longevity in with the ability to you know, reinvent themselves continually. So you have to be a true artist to do that. And so in a way, you know, we're blessed that they're signing less and that they're spending less because it's back to finding that true talent. You know what I'm saying?
Right. True. What's next for you?
Couple things. College. That has nothing to do with music, but that definitely is on my mind.
That's a big one.
That is, because I'm a junior this year, so I gotta work on this, gotta get a good ACT, all that stuff. That's what's on my mind now. But musically, I still gotta finish the second album. I've been trying to, it feels like it's been forever trying to finish this second album. And I want to get that out. I want to say it's basically done right now. I just got to get some stuff mixed, mastered, and just put it out. But, so I want to do that. And then kind of along the lines of learning another instrument, I want to be able to play keyboards too. That way I can just, you know, increase my production and just make myself more well-rounded, I guess.
Go on, AC.
No, I was going to say not to cut him off, but just a little words of wisdom to you, man. The more you learn, and well, the more you know, the more instruments you can play, the more versatile you are, the quicker you are to be picked up by,
right.
Major label. And I can tell you, man, I've run into so many guys and they're good and still have not, you know, got that big break. So, you know, and I want to say to you, continue, you know, to always better yourself. Never feel like you're good enough because, you know, I'm not saying that you're not good enough. But
right,
never
but
feel like
someone out there better, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
In some respects, you know, it's always someone who can do what you can't, rather, so.
Right, exactly.
Definitely.
Thank you for that.
I am glad that I got both of y'all on the line at the same time. That was one of my main purposes, so y'all could collaborate and at least get to hear some of this product that y'all getting ready to put out. For real, and both of you notify me when your CDs are complete because I want to purchase them and also play them on the show as well and play them in my car as well so I can go down and bump in my head. Am I in the house?
Check you out, Taz. I appreciate the love. You're such a stand-up guy, and I really want to thank you, you know, for having me on the show, and it's been a blessing meeting you.
Well, thank you, and continued success to both of you, because, like I said, I'm feeling y'all. When I first heard the first songs, I was like, oh, man. When I got Drew's CD, Drew had gave me a Drew CD when I first met him. The first one, The Awakening, and it was another one that was just a mix CD, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, and I was sitting there listening, and I was like, man, I'm feeling this. And then I met Michelle last year at the Atlantis Music Conference, and she gave me the CD, and I listened to it, like, in the car on the way back home from around the corner from the conference. And I was like, yo, I got to get with her because I like this song, too. You know, so y'all keep doing what y'all do, making people's heads rock. And Drew, go to college, dog. Definitely get that in.
For sure.
And I thank you again. I'm going to end with two songs, We Get Bread.
Yep.
And
We Get Bread, yeah.
And Drew 32, Can't Stop Us remix.
I want to say something before you play it. I don't even consider that my song even a rap. I consider it just dedication to Obama, me trying to sing with some auto-tune.
Oh, okay, mister. I hate auto tune.
That's why. No, but this is this not even rap. It's really not even rap. You play it, you'll hear what I'm talking about.
Yo, and just really quick, I just want anybody who's got any feedback, because I love feedback. You know, I want to know what you're thinking, to get at me. Because right, I'm going to just plug the MySpace right quick. It's myspace.com/BenaShad. That's BenaShad. Make sure you hit me up. I love to hear what you're thinking. That's what it is. And Drew, I'm going to definitely get at you and tag you and get your points for whatever we come up with, all right?
Drew, put it up on my.
I was just about to do it. MySpace.com/Drew32. DREW and then the numbers 32. Hit me up.
Thank you both for being on the show.
Thank you. God bless.
Thank you. Thank you.
Casual. that there is something happening in America. That we are not as divided as our politics suggest. That we are one people. We are one nation. And together, we will begin the next great chapter in the American story with three words that will ring from coast to coast, from sea to shining sea. Yes, we can. Yes, we can.